Here we are with Congressman Peter Welch. We're going to talk about DACA today. But before we do, I want to talk to you about an unfortunate loss that Vermont has suffered, which is Tony Pomerleau. And can you tell us something about him?
Well, I can. You know, a lot of people probably don't know Tony Pomerleau, but everybody in Vermont does. He died just very recently at age 100. And he was working right up until the very end. He was born very poor, Newport, Vermont, and he's just one of these gifted people who knew how basically to make a deal. And throughout his life, he's managed to run a business really almost out of his head. I've been around him at times and to watch his mind work, to see him do numerical calculations in his head, to be able to evaluate whether buying on this corner or that corner makes sense, whether that old building has a future or it's just going to fall down. These practical things, you don't know how in the world he can come to such quick judgments and act with such conviction. And it made him an extremely wealthy man. But what is endearing about him is that he always knew that he was a poor guy who grew up in Newport, and he loved Newport, and he loved Vermont, and he loved helping people who were helping other Vermonters. So he's been incredibly generous throughout his life. And Senator Leahy and I were both at the funeral. Senator Sanders had the budget hearing and wasn't able to be there, but he's very close to Tony Pomerleau. And, you know, you've got Sanders, the socialist, and Pomerleau, the capitalist, and they were best of buddies. And why? It's because Tony saw having money as an opportunity to give money away. And the turnout was extraordinary. You know, he had a special, it was like a state funeral. You know, the police were there. He's always been very helpful to them. The National Guard was there. And so many people from the community that were in organizations, nonprofit organizations that were helping. And Tony always had a twinkle in his eye, drove a hard bargain, and had a big heart. So huge loss for Vermont, but somebody who has a legacy that will last another several lifetimes.
Let's talk a little bit about DACA. The president has said he wants a solution, but now that a solution looks possible as a bipartisan coalition gets together, he's saying not so fast. What do you make of all of that?
Well, it's pretty outrageous and pretty cynical and frankly quite discouraging. Let me step back for a minute. The Dreamers are children. They were children brought here by their parents. They had no say in it. And some of them were 2 years old, 3 years old. The only country they know is America. They went to local schools, colleges. Many of them serve in the military. Many of them are first responders. Everybody in this country, including President Trump, agrees they should have legal protection, legal status. And they had it until President Trump took it away. So he's created this entire crisis by removing the legal protection that Dreamers had. And now he's sticking it to Congress, telling them that unless we do what he wants, they're gone. And basically, it's as though you're an arsonist who torches the building, and then you step back and criticize the fire department because they didn't put it out fast enough. And that's essentially what the president is doing. He's the guy who stuck the match to it and is now blaming other people for not solving the problem that he created. So the president is gaming this. And for what end is hard to know, because the bipartisan compromise that's being put forward in the Senate, in fact, goes a long way towards doing things that many of those members of the Senate don't want to do in terms of how much they spend on the wall and how much on border security and other compromises. So what you're seeing is that the commitment of many of those senators on a bipartisan basis to help the Dreamers is getting them to agree to do some of the things they on a different situation would never do, yet the president then pours more gasoline on the fire and creates more insecurity for the Dreamers. It's completely a Trump-created crisis.
So, Peter Welch, I mean, when we first started talking all those years ago and as we've talked, you know, you were always very careful about your words and what you said about the president. Are you losing any kind of respect at all for the man?
Well, Trump is different than any president I've dealt with. You know, prior presidents, there'd be a lot of times where you disagree with the policy, but you had some confidence that they believed in the rule of law. They had mutual respect for people they disagreed with, and they'd play hard to achieve their policy objectives, but they'd play within certain guardrails. With President Trump, the guardrails are down. His word doesn't mean much. He creates problems and then criticizes people for not solving them. And when they make an effort to solve them, he throws some more gasoline on the fire. That's what you're seeing with DACA. And what's so appalling to me about that, and this is different, you're right, Alan, in terms of my tone. We have an obligation to try to bring people together. We have an obligation to try to solve problems, not create them. And that requires presidential leadership, trying to narrow differences. And what you're seeing is persistent conduct on the part of President Trump to be verbally provocative, to take political positions that change on a dime, and this create a fair amount of insecurity in a dynamic that is very destructive, in my view, for the country to make progress. So, yeah, I am disappointed with this president in ways that are much different than having policy differences with some of his predecessors.
Let's talk a little bit. We only have about 3 minutes on this, on prescription drugs. You have some legislation, and you are scheduled to talk to the secretary in charge of Health and Human Services. So what is it that you want to know from him?
Well, interestingly enough, this is an area where President Trump has said all the right things, and he invited Elijah Cummings, the ranking member on the Oversight Government Reform Committee, to the White House to talk about bringing down the price of drugs. And the president's, two things I'd say about him on this. One, he gets the problem. He knows that the prices are ripoff, and that's a word he uses. And second, he knows that the politics of bringing prescription drug prices down is very good for everybody. Pharma's ripping us off. So the president gets the political part, and he gets the bogus claims that pharma makes about why they have to charge the highest prices in the world. So my hope is that there'll be some follow-through here. The person he has in charge of the FDA, Scott Gottlieb, in fact, in many ways is doing a good job. And this Mr. Azar comes out of the pharma community. He was at Eli Lilly. But he's the HHS secretary, and he'll be before our hearing, and I want to find out what he's going to do to help us achieve what the president claims is his goal, and that is lower prescription drug prices. The price of medicine is way too high. That's something we have to address. But the biggest contributor is the escalation, constant and relentless, in the cost of prescription medicine. And we've got to address that. And will the president follow through? I'll get a better indication after we talk to his Health and Human Services Secretary.
Always wonderful to talk to our friend, Congressman Peter Welch, Democrat at large in office since 2007. Hey, Peter, don't get discouraged. Keep on fighting. It's great to see what you're doing.
I'm not discouraged. It's just a different world, but we're going to hang in.
Terrific. Thank you so much. And when we come back the next time, we'll have some more on maybe infrastructure.